You may be seated if you can. Brothers and sisters, children of God, hear now, for this is the living word of the living God. A reading from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. Scripture says, "The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests who were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, and until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the captivity of Jerusalem in the 5th month. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am only a youth. For to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord.
Morning. Thank you for that wonderful praise and worship unto our Lord and our King. It is so good to be here, first time in person. And expecting the Lord to speak. I want to thank Dr. Sweeney, wherever I saw him, for inviting me here as a preacher, and I'm glad. Last time I was here, it was in COVID, the pandemic, and they had me on Zoom. That don't work for me. And I don't know who Zoom was thinking about when they invented it. It wasn't invented for guys like me, so. I am a live preacher, pastor, preacher of God's word. And so this morning, I have an assignment to speak to you all this morning from Jeremiah concerning our callings and God's power in that. And so with that, let me just open up with a quick word of prayer for myself to get my heart right here and then dive into the word. King Jesus, you're sovereign over all and in all and through all things come. And right now, you saw this day, and so here I am at this chapel service here this morning to speak on the subject matter on the callings that you call us to and how you bring about those callings through your great power. Come now and allow for me to once again, to experience that power that comes from on high. It doesn't come from anyone else, it comes from you. The power to preach, to herald, to teach your word. Come now, send your spirit to your humble servant. This I pray in your master's name. As a pastor, a preacher of God's word, I believe that every believer before me on the internet that will hear this, that you and I have been given a specific calling from the Lord. I believe it with all my heart. That's without the general calling that all believers have. But I believe that you and I were born, there's something in God's heart, something in his mind that he created you and I for, to do, and to perform. So unique to you, your temperament, where you was born, your parents, and all of the above. And even the very generation that you was born into. I used to think, man, I wish I was born back in the 1970s or the 1870s. And then I go back and read, and now I'm good with this generation. You know, we got drinking water, we can drink. I don't gotta go out to the well and get it like I used to when I was in Sardis. I can just open up a bottle and drink it. They didn't have that back in the 1870s. But we do here today. But many of you are here at Beeson. I asked, I said, who am I speaking to, you know? They said, well, students and faculty, pastors from around the area, and I know this is gonna also go on YouTube or something like that, so it probably can go here and wide and far. But for the most, those are in front of me, most of you are here at Beeson studying and preparing for gospel ministry in so many forms, in so many capacities. You sense that God has called you to something. That's why you're here. You're here at this time in history, trying to sense and discerning God's calling in your life. That specific calling that I was talking about, that Lord has burdened your heart with, that thing that wakes you up in the morning, that things that keeps you. And that calling could be big or small. It doesn't always have to be great bigness that you see with other ministries. It could just be something small, being a faithful steward in that. But I have come to understand, I'm almost 60 this year. Somebody said, man, I was getting some food. He said, man, he looked at my, I was traveling, he looked at my, he said, man, you're a young guy. Why you got this big old gray beard? I said, man, ministry. Ministry will do this to you. I got out here, my beard was blacker than my skin. But 13 years here in Fairfield, it's all gray now with a few, you know. He said, you're pretty young to have all that. I said, yeah, I know. But I've come to discern something about God's calling on our lives, me personally. That these callings that God give to us, that they are typically, they are beyond our own ability, our own strength, our own power, our own prowess to bring about, to perform. You know, our education, as great as it is, get all the degrees and seminary accolades that you can get. But I've come to understand the callings of God, they just demand something else. You know, Paul had a lot of degrees too. I mean, more than what we can probably even imagine. But he will talk about in his own life, which I will close with, what this power does. But these callings from the Lord, they will require a deep reliance on what the psalmist says in Psalm 62, verse 11. He says, one thing God has spoken, he says, two things have I heard. I love this. Power, a power that you and I can't get up on our own. You can't go buy this power. You can't go to Walmart and say, hey, can I get some of that power? No, you can't get it like that. And the psalmist says, power belongs to God and God alone. Well, Jeremiah, in our text this morning, His calling starts with us being told that he is a child of a priest. He's a preacher's kid, born in a preacher's home. And this is important for us to note and to understand in this text this morning, because we know Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet, as he's referred to, but he is a son of a Levitical priest, and meaning he grew up in a home with the knowledge of the Torah, the commands of God, his statutes, his principles about how to live this life and obeying God. And so he knew, just growing up in the home, about God's greatness, his power that he displayed in the past generations with Moses and Joshua, how he split seas and split rivers. Jeremiah knew that. I got folks in Fairfield. I had a lady came to our church. You know, we're in a different time. They didn't grow up in a preacher's home. And I'm preaching through the book of Exodus. She looks over to my wife and says, who is Moses? That would not have been Jeremiah. Jeremiah, who is Moses? Well, I know who Moses is. Jeremiah had that understanding about who God was and his great power and his great acts that he had done. Well, Bible scholars, and I know there are many before me, would say that Jeremiah's age is around 20 to 25. Some would say 17. I'm going to put him in 20 to 25. When this calling from Yahweh happens to him, it comes to him. Yahweh is calling this young Jeremiah. It's profound when you just read and when you just meditate and you contemplate what Yahweh says to him. I mean, it just blessed me just studying for it, just how big and transcendent, how lofty the Holy One is. He says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me," Jeremiah says, verse 4, "before I form you." Now, I'm a Presbyterian. Some call me a little John Calvin Jr., whatever, but I just like, before your mama belly started to press out, before that intimate night between your mom and your dad, whether it was in a hotel or in the back house, I don't know, but God says, "Jeremiah, I knew you." Man, when you just read it, come on, God, you're messing with me now. What do you mean you knew me? I'm not even in the belly yet. I haven't been conceived yet. But you know me. He tells Jeremiah, "I knew you." Y'all quoted earlier today in Psalms 139, which is one of my favorite psalms, where it says, "For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well," the psalmist says. "My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in the secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance." Then I love this. "In your book," I always ask God, "what's in the book about Alton Hardy? What did you write down in that great book of yours that's in heaven in eternity past, before my mom and my dad came together out there in the sheep fields, in the corn fields, in the cotton fields of Sardis, Alabama? What did you have in mind for me?" And the psalmist says, "In that great book, they were written, every one of them, the days, the callings, the good, the bad, the opposition, the challenges, the highs and the lows, the valleys and the mountaintops. Every one of them was written in my book," God says. "The days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them," says the psalmist. Then it goes on, says, "I consecrated you." Meaning, here's the specific now. "I set you apart, Jeremiah." Man, this is Yahweh talking to him. This is not Big Mom. This is not his dad, Hilkiah. This is Yahweh saying, "I have set you apart, Jeremiah, from all the other uses to be used in a specific use for me," Yahweh says to him. "A divine and holy use." And then God said, "Well, let me just get on down to it where it is, what I've called you to. Jeremiah, I have appointed you specific to be a prophet to the nations." Well, brothers and sisters, you would think that these transcendent words of affirmation coming from Yahweh, of knowing him intimately like this, would have just been sufficient. Man, okay, God is telling me that he knew me before I was formed, and that's all I need. I don't need anything else. I'm just ready. Come on, God, I'm ready to go. Put the words in my mouth. I'm ready to preach. I'm ready to go tell those nations and those kings and those queens, thus saith the Lord. You would think that would have just been enough for Jeremiah. He'd been growing up in a pastor's home. Would give him the boost that the I am, that I am, is the one sharing this stuff with him, the self-existing one, the one who exists outside of time, who puts time into time. That's who's talking to Jeremiah. But here we see in the text written down for us to encourage us here this morning, for those of you with callings on your lives, such as myself. Jeremiah's response then said, I said, Lord, I know you sit high and look low. You created all things. You spoke the worlds into existence. But Jeremiah said, oh Lord, God, behold, I do not know how to speak. For I'm only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a youth. For to all to whom I send you, you shall go. Jeremiah's like, I'm not cut out for this. I don't have what it takes. But you notice God just, he doesn't like pay any attention to what Jeremiah says to him, that I'm a youth. God just starts giving out his commands, what he will do. He says, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, Jeremiah, to deliver you, declares the Lord. Let me transition here for a moment. I always say this at my church, you know, every now and then you got to be a little messy. Can I be a little messy? You know, preachers need that. You need to get down in the pews. Sometimes the sermons just stay up too high. It's all right, I get it. You know, you got the degrees. It's okay to go there. But every now and then you just got to land the planes. I mean, I like planes flying to the air, but I like it better on the ground, to be totally honest with you. Put me on the ground. I'm carrying this 300 pounds anyway. I'm just better suited for the earth. Feel like I'm holding the plane down, man. With this 320. My wife said, if you just eat right, you can lose that. I said, no, I'm living in the South, man. I got to eat the ribs. They got ribs and pork rinds and all that. I can't. All right. Next life, I maybe figure out in the next life. I made this statement earlier in my intro that these callings from the Lord, that they are typically beyond our abilities. I did it intentional. They're above your human strength to pull off. You can't do it. God already knows that. He knew that when he called Moses. I mean, the book of Exodus, and Moses, he's giving God a whole week of why he can't do what he's been called to do. I mean, he's resisting Yahweh. God, the scriptures are not trying to hide this stuff. And so therefore, in order to live out these callings that God gives to us, like he's given to Jeremiah, we will need, I don't know where you're at in this process, but you will need, And I'm not saying this with any lightheartedness. I'm saying this with everything I know how to say it. If you're going to accomplish that work that God has put on you, you need to just celebrate right now. It will not be accomplished by your wisdom, by your strength, and by your power. Not at all. You will need to rely upon the self-existing one and his power only to do any of it. See, Jeremiah's calling here in Jeremiah 1 and his story is actually our story, sitting right here in this room today. And us responding to God's calling, when God says, you're going to do this, you're going to do this, and you're going to do that. But we typically respond just like Jeremiah did, where I'm a youth. As though God just said to him, look, before Jeremiah, I made you and created you and formed you in your mother's womb. I already know how old you are, boy. But Jeremiah responds, but I am a youth. Who am I? And this is exactly what we do. We respond with our human limitations, our human abilities, our own finite human understanding of fulfilling the calling that Yahweh has specifically assigned to us. And then this last couple years, you know, as a brother was sharing with me in the back, he said, man, Alton, Pastor Hardy, people are saying, what is going on in Fairfield? God made a promise to me back in Grand Rapids, Michigan, that he was going to do something that he'd been waiting for a long time. And if you read my book, Long Is the Way, I tell the backstory. I'm a sharecropper's kid, and I had stuttering issues. I didn't grow up in the best home. I didn't have the best education. I've had a lot of pain. I've had racial wounds. I've been beat up. I've been spat on. I've been beaten down. I've been told that and here I am, somehow I'm in Birmingham now, 13 years, and God said, I'm going to put you somewhere, and you're not going to understand it for a while, but I'm going to put you somewhere, and I'm going to do something. You're going to plant a church in the inner city, and it's going to start in Fairfield, but it's going to not just stay in Fairfield. It's going to go to Bessemer. It's going to go to Eastlake, and it's going to go to Grand Rapids. It's going to go to Chicago. It's going to go to Atlanta. It's going to go to urban communities all across America, and people will know that this is not the work of a man, but this is the work of a triune God. And I'm going to put you among a people that no one would ever expect. Man, people ask me, say, man, you're preaching like this. How in the world did you end up in a PCA? How is that vocabulary in the PCA? We know how they preach. But here you are, 6'4", gray beard from Sardis in that denomination. But here God says, I'm going to burden your heart with young black men. And I'm going to put you in the inner cities. And I'm going to raise them up. But I'm going to do it with most, no one would ever have thought that it would be done that way. But every Sunday morning when I get up to preach, I see more young black men than I see women and children. I see young black men getting married. I see young black men moving in. I see young black men breaking cycles. Now there's a movement, there's a groundswell, and people say, how is this happening? If you were to say, Alton, how is that happening? I would say, in spite of me, the one who made the promise. And I've wanted to quit more times than I can think about. And when I'm in that zone, when I'm thinking about quitting, which I almost did last year, when we put $3-4 million in a grocery store, and less than a year later, it closed down. And I was writing up the resignations of God, I can't do it anymore. I'm in Birmingham. It's just the division is too deep, it's too wide, and Jesus, I know you can reconcile, you can do all this and that, but Lord, I'm just losing faith. Maybe it's just for me to bow out quietly and retire. So I've been there. when God comes over and over again. What we see here in the next part of the text here, we need exactly what Jeremiah gets from the Lord over and over and over and over and over and over again. You and I need to be reminded what God reminds Jeremiah, or he just does it to Jeremiah. In order to perform these specific callings that he has called us to. Because brothers and sisters, no matter what, I say this morning, we will face challenges on this as we are called. We will face challenges just like it happened to Jeremiah. And we will become discouraged, overwhelmed, and weary, and beat down by the constant opposition. And just to be totally honest with you, just sometimes just the bigness and the magnitude of the calling that God has called you to. It's where I find myself sometimes. God, this is way beyond me. I don't even have the educational background and pedigree to be thinking like this. Why are you doing it this way? Surely there's somebody better than me. I'm a former stuttering kid. The Lord in verse 9. It says, then the Lord put out his hand. Jeremiah says, and he touched my mouth. Let me play with this word, put out his hand. John Calvin, the reformer, 15th century reformer, used the term baby talk. Help me, Lord. What Calvin is trying to convey to us, we know that God doesn't have a hand, Yahweh, but he's trying to use these terms to help to communicate to us finite human beings of the magnitude and the bigness and the power of his immense power. He can't just say, because I'm a human being, God said, well, I'm just going to do my power, but so I'm going to use my hand. That's what he kept telling Moses. I'm going to strike the Egyptians with my hand. But we know that he's talking about his power. To raise up incest to do his bidding when he wants them to bring all of the destruction to Egypt. And so he's saying to Jeremiah that he touched him. He touched him with his power, meaning with his hand, but with his power. Now, so you got to think about this. This is not just any kind of power. This is the power that raises the dead back to life. It's the power to take dead people and to give them eyes to see spiritually. It's that kind of power. It's not just any power. It's the power to come upon no matter where you've been born, who you are, who your daddy and mama was. It's the power to come into your life and to transform you. That kind of power. It's not just any power. We're talking about God who created the galaxies and the stars that are too many to name, and he knows them all by name. Come on, talk to me, saints. That's the God who says, I'm touching him with his hand. Even Jeremiah, a preacher's kid, growing up in a preacher's home, had forgot in this dialogue who it was that he was talking to, who it was that he was conversing with. And he touched them with his hand. This power of God. When Jesus was getting ready to go back, be with his father talks about this power in Acts 1:8. He says, but you will receive, here again, dunamis, this power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The Lord is saying to Jeremiah, I'm going to put my power. He touched him. So Jeremiah said, well, I'm a youth. I can't do it. God knew that when he showed up that he was a youth. God says he touched Jeremiah with his great power. And behold, I will put my words in your mouth. See, I've set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down. I'm going to put my word in you, Jeremiah. You're going to go in. Church, I'm going to put my word in you by my great power. And you're going to go throughout the whole world making disciples. You're going to be plucking up idols. You're going to be destroying strongholds. You're going to be plucking up, Jeremiah. You're going to be speaking the word of the Lord. Where human hearts will be broken and contrite and called to repentance. You will destroy and overthrow, and then you will build and plant. Jeremiah was like, yeah, the office of a prophet. This is what you will do. And it will be done through my power. I want to close with this. There are stages in your Christian maturity. And there are stages of where God develops greater levels of faith in you. I wish I could tell you it just comes on the front end, but it doesn't. You get a measure of it. And, God walks with us. And I was sharing this with my wife this morning. And people said, man, what's a lot happened with you? And if you were to follow me in my prayer life, a lot of it is just, Lord, I'm sorry. Even now I'm tearing up. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I've doubted you so much along the journey. Though I read these scriptures about your great power, these great stories, but I'll walk away not believing any of it. And I've doubted you along the way, kicking and screaming, saying, I want to quit. I want to give up. Because I'm looking at him, looking at the circumstances through my own lenses. And not realizing that God is trying to teach me something. Because the truth of the matter is, I want to seem like I got it all together. I want to seem like I always know the end from the beginning. I want to be able to communicate that, man, that it's just all well. But the truth of the matter is, God doesn't get glory when it's done like that. He doesn't get glory because I can cross every T and dot every I. And Paul, the great apostle, he says to us, whoever you are, he said, Pastor, I'm struggling with this calling, man. I believe God's calling me to do this and that. And I'm like Jeremiah. I don't know how this is going. I don't even know how I'm going to pay for seminary. I don't know how I'm going to go here and do that or whatever it is. I want to give you these words. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Paul was asking for some relief. It's the backdrop to the story. I'm weak. Can you remove this away? And look what the Lord says to him. The Lord has been saying this to me as well all this last year, 2025. My grace is sufficient for you. I don't know who you are. His grace. And then he says, I know y'all want to have all the T's crossed and all the I's dotted. You want to have all the money in the bank. You want to have it so you can be able to say, now look at God. But it doesn't really work like that on this side, saints. It really does work the opposite way. So that God gets all the glory. So this is what he says to Paul. My power, Paul, is made perfect in your weakness. Mm-hmm. And Paul finally gets it. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that that power that I was talking about, that Jeremiah had lost sight of, that power, all of that power in his glory and all of his might, all of that can be put on display on you and me and all of his children. Brothers and sisters, he's well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or what you think of, according to that power. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this few minutes that you can encourage your children that we're not in this walk, this race, this mission here on this side of heaven to do it in our own strength, by our own power. Let this show that your power could be made known through our weaknesses, through our feeble faith that is small like a mustard seed. Bless us here today. Encourage our hearts. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Receive this word from Ephesians 3. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Amen. Go in peace.